This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
The Mystics done lost again.
What?
Shame. I could make the typical excuse of, oh, we didn't have Deladon. We didn't have Ariel Atkins. We didn't have Shakira Austin. We didn't have our veteran presence coming off the bench, our shooter coming off the bench, Christy Tolliver. But those are excuses. That was still a winnable game. I'm not going to lie. Those ladies were looking fresh on the bench, you know, especially Shakira Austin had these really short shorts. But that's neither here nor there. It was camp day at Capital One Arena, the one game the Mystics play at Capital One Arena. It's camp day. I went last year and we actually won last year because we had Deladon. We had most of the team playing last year. And we had Deladon. And we beat the New York Liberty before they got all these veterans and made a quote-unquote super team. But this year is going against the Fever, who are improved, but they're still trash. They were 5-15. Even though Kelsey Mitchell was an all-star, and I found out why today, she was pretty good. It got to the point where they had to face guard her. You cannot let her get any room at all. And then Aaliyah Boston was an all-star starter as a rookie. Damn! I'm not going to lie, fam. That is impressive. It was pretty cool to see the long hair don't care in person.
Facts.
I just wish they would have left DC with an L like they did last Friday. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. They won. Mostly because they had a really good third quarter. That's just like the first game in Indiana when we had literally everybody. Everybody played except maybe Natasha Cloud. But still, Deladon played. I think Shakira Austin played. We had Zowie B. Almost everybody played that game, and we got ran off the floor in the third quarter and didn't even try to make it close in the fourth quarter. That was first game. Beat them the second game. I wish I was at that game. I made plans to be at that game, but then I had to get to work. I had to do something else. So it is what it is. But then this game, I was like, you know what? I'm going to come to this because it's camp day. It's a special game. It's at 11:30. It's a nice little midday getaway. So I was like, why not? Bought my ticket at the last minute, pulled up. I low-key regretted it because you know it's going to be a lot of kids. And you know they're going to be screaming. You know they're going to have a lot of energy. It's just so many of them. Way too many of them. I mean, yeah, sure, the energy is dope. But I'm like, dad, this is too much, man. I don't know if I can take screaming fans like this, screaming kid fans like this. I just want to watch basketball. But maybe it's just the spectacle of it all that I like. But, you know, the kids had fun. It looked like they had fun whether they won or lost. The Mystics camp was there, and I kind of sat around them. They were really loud. So I guess that's the future of that's the future of women's basketball in the DMV. I guess I gotta stay tuned. But anyway, this was a 3-point game at halftime. You actually had the lead early in the game. Now Natasha Cloud was really aggressive, which is a positive, but also a negative because there were some shots she took. She didn't even try to pass the ball. She just drove, put her head down, and shot a contested layup or floater in the lane, and they went the other way, and half the time they scored. I hate it when that happens. Good to see Lee Mung out there. She made two critical threes. Yeah, I like her. That's my Asian girl. I like her. She just was bodying in China, and she had to come back home, come back to her second home in D.C. and, you know, start putting in work for us. She did okay. But mostly, until Della Don and Shakira Austin come back, this is a Natasha Cloud, Brittany Sykes team. Guard oriented. Maisha Hines Allen gonna take her shots. Oh yeah, Ariel Atkins ain't playing, so yeah. More shots for Brittany Sykes and Natasha Cloud. Queen Egbo, she played well. Maybe it was because it was her former team. I don't know, but she played with a lot of energy. She was flying. She was coming out of nowhere blocking shots. She definitely putting the energy to block shots and affect shots. And maybe that's why she played 20 minutes off the bench. I really don't get why she's not starting. I don't know why they're doing this small lineup to start the game. I know Tiana Hawkins is playing kind of well. You know, she had 13-9. Maybe that's why they don't mind doing this, you know, four out, five out starting lineup thing. Because there's literally no center in the starting lineup. Tiana Hawkins is like a stretch four. Maisha Hines Allen is like a 3-4. Natasha Cloud, Brittany Sykes are guards. Walker Kimbo is like a 2-3-ish. So they go small to start off the game. I guess it's an okay thing, but everything was going all right. I mean, with Indiana, from what I see, is if you can limit Kelsey Mitchell, what's the name didn't play? Nylisa Smith didn't play. That's another reason why we should have won this game. She didn't play. But with the Fever, you got to contain Kelsey Mitchell, who is a very good all-around guard, can shoot, can get to the rim and finish. She's very good. She's very good. I see why she made the All-Star team. And Aaliyah Boston, I think is the number two on that team. She's the face of the team, but she's the second best player. She definitely makes her presence felt. Big girl, physical. You know, she get any room in the post. She going to use her body to drop step, get that layup or that hook shot. We did a great job of doubling her on the catch or anytime she tried to spin. Did a good job of making sure she didn't get position. We did a great job of boxing her out. I mean, 11 points, 8 rebounds. And honestly, she got half of those points in the fourth quarter. She got an extra 2 or 3 rebounds in the fourth quarter when we were just jacking up shots. I think the game turned around when the Mystics start letting the Fever drive and kick and make threes. There's no reason why Grace Berger should be hitting a dagger three. There's no reason why Amanda Zowie B, that's my girl, like I always say, you know, as my girl, love her, but can't let her get open. Can't let her shoot a three. Can't. Especially in the third quarter when you're trying to come back. They let Vivian's hit 2 key threes. Like, it can't happen. It can't happen. That was the difference in the game. That was the difference in the game. That stretch right there. And then on offense, just not enough consistency, man. Like, Brittany Sykes 1-for-7. Oh, my God. So, yeah, Tiana Hawkins, Natasha Cloud, and Brittany Sykes are going to take most of the shots. Got to be more efficient. Queen Egbo, 5-for-5, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 blocks. Impressive. I don't know why we don't play her more, but whatever. That if that's what they want to do, I'm just going to have to roll with it. It don't matter because when we get Deladon back, it's showtime. When we get our girls back, it's showtime. None of them are out for the season. So they will be back and the WNBA will be in trouble. And I put that on everything I love. But man, they lost by 6. You know, when they got down double digits, I give them props for not giving up, for battling back, but you shouldn't have got down that much to begin with. Literally two people you got to worry about. Maybe Erica Wheeler. She's like the third person you might have to worry about when, I guess, Nalissa Smith isn't there. But other than that, you only really got to worry about Aaliyah Boston and Kelsey Mitchell. That's it. Come on, man. That's light work. How you let them win? They have 6 wins. I know they're not a pushover because they've had some close games with some good teams, but we're the overall better team. Gotta beat them. Come on, man. But I had to kind of rant a little bit about camp day. A Wednesday morning game. I don't know if I'm gonna do that next year. It's definitely a unique game, a unique environment. That's why I've done it 2 weeks in a row or 2 years in a row. But man, I should have hesitated on this because I knew that our team was compromised. We got 2 people on hardship contracts. I don't even know who Gorey is, but she came in and she didn't do too bad and she scored a bucket. Lene Harper was solid off the bench too. So, I mean, this ain't a bad team while we got our people out, but man, this game, we should have had that one. Come on now. Come on now, loafing. Y'all stop loafing. And speaking of loafing, the Washington Nationals. The Washington Nationals were loafing. And that's on everything I love. Against the Cardinals, okay, let's start with that. So, okay, coming out of the break, right? Coming out of the break, we play, pretty sure it's the Cardinals, right? So, yeah, we play the Cardinals off the break and drop the first game. Okay, we're on the road. We're not that good. Win the second game. Or we win the first game, lose the second game, then lose the third game. All of these games are weather affected, like big time delays. Okay, get through that series with a pretty much split. All right, fine. The Cubs series so far, we win the first game because of Candelario and K-Bert Ruiz. Candelario is just, he's another solid veteran third baseman. That's been a revolving door. And sometimes we play Edomar Vargas. We played a lot more last season when my man wasn't playing. I forgot the guy's name. He used to play for the Phillies, and then he played for us. But he wasn't playing, so they put in Edomar Vargas, and then we got Candelario from the Tigers this year. So he's been our third baseman, and he's just up and down. But he was up that game. He killed it. K-Bert Ruiz killed it. And we won 7-5. This game, though, the last night game, bro, we lost 17-3. Damn! Hey, yo, that's crazy. That's wild. That's unreal. And especially because I had the game on. Well, since my radio doesn't work in my car anymore, I have to stream everything. So I was on the Odyssey app listening to the Nationals game. I'm sure my riders would have rather not heard baseball, but, you know, whatever. If you don't want to hear it, say something. But anyway, I had it on, and I was quietly celebrating that they were up 3-0. And, hey, second at-bat of the game. I don't know why C.J. Abrams is leading off these days, but he is. And right after that, Lane Thomas comes up. Lane Thomas has been our most consistent hitter. And he hits one out of the park. Great, because I have him in fantasy, and I'm loving that trade right now. But anyway, do that, and then we get up 3-0 eventually. I'm like, yes, just throw it in a bag like fabulous. I mean, Corbin was pitching well, too. I mean, this can't get any better. Then, of course, they start getting to Corbin. They took him out. And then all hell broke loose after that. I mean, it couldn't get any worse than this. I mean, come on, dog. Top of the seventh. No, bottom of the seventh. It's 3-3. Because we took Corbin out about sixth inning. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that's pretty much when we take him out anyway. But it's just crazy that we put... I'm trying to see... Who the heck we put in. Basically, bruh, the relievers we put in for the seventh and eighth inning, trash. And you know that. See, look, okay. Okay, no, not just the sixth and seventh inning. But, okay, Willingham, Ferrer, and Paolo Espino. Paolo Espino, that was the one. Listen, let me read you these stats real quick. On first, let me read you the Nats stats. Because when I was watching the highlights of this game, because I couldn't believe it. Because once I stopped listening to the Nats on the radio, it was still 3-0 Nats. So I was like, okay, we're doing good, you know. I assume, okay, we got a handle on this. We about to win again. We're going to be fine. And then later that night, after I finished doing what I was doing, I came back to see we lost 17-3. And we never scored again. That's crazy. But let me get to you these stats. First, let me start with the Nats pitchers. Amos Willingham, who we put in after Patrick Corbin. 0.2 innings pitch, 4 hits, 4 home runs, 1 strikeout. Terrible. Jose Ferrer, put him in right after that. Okay, he did a little bit better. 2 hits, 2 earned runs in 1 inning. Okay, so I guess at this point, the score is 9-3. Can't get any worse than this, right? Cannot get any worse than this. I mean, I'm just looking at it. They killed this guy, man. And shout out to Corey Dickerson earlier in the game getting that RBI, advancing 2 runners, man. He's underrated. He's underrated. But when we bring up them hitters, them killers in the minor league, I don't think there's going to be much of a place for him. He'll probably come off the bench at best. But for now, he's doing his thing, and I love it. But I'm reading this, man, and, man, Seiya Suzuki, they made him look like the second coming of, I don't know, Mike Trout, Alex Rodriguez. They made him look like the second coming of whatever all-star you like. And I'm just like, bruh, no way. No way y'all let him do y'all like this. And Patrick Wisdom homered too. I'm just looking at it and I'm like, that's crazy, yo. They destroyed us. Hey, yo. This is crazy, man. Hey, go back to the stats. But back to the stats, because this is unreal. All right, I told you about Willingham. I told you about Ferrer. That ain't even the best part. The best part is Paolo Espino. This was the guy. He did okay last year as a starter at first, and then he kind of fell off. And then he started off this year bad, and now he's in the bullpen. I forget he's on the team, and here's why. 0.1 innings pitch, 7 hits, 8 earned runs, 1 strikeout, 2 walks, 216 ERA.
What? Damn!
Hell no, to the no, 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 hell to the no.
DFA, DFA, DFA. DFA. If you don't know what DFA means, it means designate for assignment. That means you either get sent to the minors or you get basically put up for waivers. I don't 100% know what that means, but you ain't on a roster no more. That all that means. You know, you ain't on a major league roster anymore. He might have to be DFA, bro. But I haven't heard anything. But that was bad. That was terrible. And it just made a bad situation worse. And then I guess to put the cherry on top, we put in Joe LaSorsa. And, well, not bad. 1 hit, no runs, 1 strikeout. Okay. Whatever. But it didn't matter. We got cooked. 17-3. Now, hopefully, a better outing next game and not batting practice, because literally they was just hitting him in a gap left and right. Patrick Wisdom got a home run and freaking Seiya Suzuki went, 4-for-6, 3 RBIs. Patrick Wisdom, 2-for-4. RBI. Nico Horner, 3-for-6, 2 RBI. Miguel Amaya, 2-for-5, 3 RBI. Got cooked. You have got to be kidding. Who is this Mike Tauchman? What the? Bruh. Mike Tauchman. That's crazy. He went 1-for-3, 3 RBIs. Crazy. That's crazy. 3 people scored on that. I think that was the error. Yeah, that was the error that happened that allowed an extra runner. Just a comedy of errors, but it's okay. I know we're still in a rebuild and we're supposed to lose all these games, but don't lose games like that. 17-3, and don't forget the... What was that? The 19-1 game I was at? Like, I don't want anything like that, okay? But I guess Mackenzie Gore is on the mound, or maybe Josiah Gray, yeah. Josiah Gray should be on the mound tonight, I believe. Let me see. I'm about to double check. Pretty sure. Yeah, pretty sure. So that's how our rotation goes. So hopefully a better result tonight, because what in the world? And part of the reason why, we got Trevor Williams pitching. I guess, man, he all right. He's okay. He's all right. Anyway, enough of this. But, you know, everything's going to be okay, because I can look to the future. Meaning the minor leagues. The guys coming up. The guys we drafted. And going on this week is the Harrisburg Senators versus the Bowie Bay Sox. to the average fan out there, you like, who? But these are the minor league teams of the Nationals and Orioles, the DMV's two baseball teams. These are our double-A teams. This is perfect for fans who live closer to D.C. that don't want to travel to Harrisburg. Perfect. Like me. I plan to go watch on Friday. I hope I can. If not, you know, I'll go on Sunday. But the main event is our number one prospects. The number one prospect from the Nationals, James Wood. And the number one prospect from the Orioles, Jackson Holliday, are facing off. And this feels like Mayweather versus Pacquiao. This feels like Magic versus Bird. This feels like Trae Young versus Luka Doncic. This feels like Victor Wembanyama versus Scoot Henderson. I'm hyping this. Even though a few games have happened already and no one's really saying much about it. Listen, the future is now. Bruh, three of our five prospects are playing with the Harrisburg Senators. This is huge. And Jackson Holliday was the number one pick in the draft or number two pick in the draft last year. He's from Stillwater. Home of the fake. Oklahoma fake. And he is the son of the great Matt Holliday, who I known him for being with the Rockies, but he won rings with the Cardinals. But from what I've seen, he's from Stillwater. You know, he was born and raised in Stillwater. So his sons were too. And Jackson Holliday is an Oriole. And his brother is an Oklahoma fake cowboy. And also his uncle is an Oklahoma fake cowboy. And he's the head coach. Matt Holliday, when I was researching about him, you know, Jackson's dad, he could have went, he's like Kyler Murray. Like, he could have went football, he could have went baseball, but he decided to take the slot money and come up through the minors. And it worked out for him. He had a great career. And now his son, I don't think you have to worry about that being the number two pick in the draft. Like, he gonna be fine. Like, yeah, you need to be doing baseball. But Matt Holliday was just as good at football. Like, he probably would have went to the fake if he decided to play football. But he didn't. He was the third best quarterback. That's crazy. This was early 2000s. But Jackson Holliday, coming from the home of Oklahoma fake, plays for the Orioles, or he's in the Orioles system. He plays for the Bowie Bay Sox, which honestly, the Bowie Bay Sox are much closer to me than Harrisburg, but they're an Orioles affiliate. So they are the enemy. Not Eric, the enemy.
What?
But the enemy. In a quick update, I just looked at the box scores and Bowie took game one. Jackson Holliday went, let me check. Jackson Holliday bat second in order and he went 2-for-4. Wow. And our top three prospects who are on Harrisburg, James Wood, 0-for-2 with a walk and a strikeout. Brady House, 0-for-4, 2 strikeouts. Robert Hassel III, 1-for-4. Terrible, but it was just one game. Hopefully, when I pull up like Birdman from the Breakfast Club or Birdman on the Breakfast Club, it's going to be showtime. And they're going to put some respect on our names.
Facts.
And that's on everything. Seriously, it's on now. So they play tonight. They played yesterday, but they play tonight. Let's see what happens. Like I said, I hope they'll pull up on Friday. Might be busy tonight. Busy tomorrow for sure. Friday, trying to pull up. Saturday, I'm busy. Sunday is my backup day. I'd rather work, but That's my backup day in case I can't do Friday. We'll see. But I'm excited for this prospect battle. So far, Jackson Holiday has won round one. But you know how minor leagues are. You know how the minor league schedule is. They do these long, week-long series. You know, the series started yesterday and is going to last till Sunday. So he got round one. Let's see what James Woods does to respond. But I'm hype. I'm hype. This is what I got to look forward to since the Nationals lose so many games. It's unfortunate. And also, I can't even go see the AAA team there in Rochester. That's 6 hours away. And trying to drive up to upstate New York is a joke, bruh. Is nothing going on but mountains. But I got to do it one day. I got to do it one day. Now, all the other minor league teams are close. Williamsburg is... Williamsburg. Lord Jesus. Wilmington. Wilmington, Delaware. Wilmington, Delaware, which is, I think, A+. That is 2 hours away, pretty much. Fredericksburg, single A, high A. Or is that just A? Well, that's an hour away. Harrisburg, double A, even though I complain about it being kind of far. No, it's just it's 2 hours away. 2 hours, 15 minutes, pretty much. But it's just a triple A far. That is 6 hours away. Hey, that's better than the time they were in Fresno, California. That was crazy. That only lasted a year because the logistics was terrible. Having to fly people out on a whim. That's tough. Coming from all the way over there, that's crazy. But we got it right now. We were in Syracuse in AAA, but, I mean, Rochester, the next best thing, so... I'm looking forward to it. James Wood, pretty much our version of Aaron Judge. He's 6'6", 240. And, well, he hit 15 home runs this year already. So, obviously, the power is there. I mean, I'm just looking at stats. He played with Wilmington. I think he hit 8 home runs there. And now he's with Harrisburg, and he hit 7 home runs in Harrisburg. And so he got 15. This guy is the realest. He young, man. He 20. He's homegrown. He's from the DMV. Y'all in trouble, man. Y'all are in trouble. We got the next Aaron Judge. We got the next Bryce Harper, Juan Soto mix. I mean, we could just get our pitching together and kind of raise up these other prospects like Brady House, who is pretty much our version of Jackson Holiday. Y'all in trouble. Y'all in trouble. For real. Anyway. Very weird show. Not a lot of topics. But I had to go in about the Nats. Real quick, the NFL running backs kind of came together on Twitter and through social media to basically speak their displeasure about their worth and what they're getting paid, because Saquon's going through a contract dispute. Pollard had to basically settle for his franchise tag. Ezekiel Elliott's looking for work. It's just been tough going for running backs. Austin Eckler. Is not getting the money he think he deserves. He said backup receiver is getting paid more than him. Oh, man. That's crazy. He's a pretty effective runner and receiver out the backfield. That's wild. That's wild that he's not getting the money he feels he deserves. I think during the offseason, they were going to trade him or release him. Wow. I mean, but honestly, man, it's just about, oh man, it's just about where the game is going. It's a passing league. It's a passing league. So quarterbacks are going to get valued more. Receivers are going to get valued more. Tackles are going to get valued more. Pass rushers are going to get valued more. I think it's just the nature of the game. And also, running backs, you know, you give these big contracts to them and they get hurt. But then again, you got to look at the people complaining. You know, same thing with Jonathan Taylor. Even Jonathan Taylor said something. Dalvin Cook is still looking for work. So it's like running backs are not being valued like they used to. Feel like they could easily be replaced. But some of these guys that have a grievance, they are literally very valuable to their teams, and they make them tougher to beat. I'm trying to look at I'm trying to look at, you know, with our running backs, you know, who's getting paid the most, and does that correlate to anything? I'm just looking at it, and I'm like, the teams that got the highest paid running backs, they were nowhere near the Super Bowl. The Eagles and the Chiefs had cheaper running backs, and they were in the Super Bowl. Bills, I mean, maybe the Bengals, Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon's not even in the top 10. That's crazy. Are you serious? On base salary, he isn't. But wait, where is he then? Oh, my God. Where is he? Is this real? Oh my God, is this real? He only getting paid $1 million in base salary? This that's got to be cap. So, okay. Signing bonus, $2 million. Roster bonus, $4 million. Dead cap hit, $9 million. Okay, that's not bad, I guess. I guess. Still kind of down there. Still getting paid less than Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb, who getting $10 million. Austin Eckler is tied for 6 as far as running backs is concerned. So maybe he wants somewhere in between $6 million and $10 million. Saquon getting $10 million this year, but it's a franchise tag. I think Tony Pollard too. So no running backs getting paid more than $10 million this year. We got to change this. Maybe total cash. Let's do total cash. Now let's see what it looks like. It just depends. But you realize Bijan getting the most in total cash. That's crazy. But nah, seriously though, like, it's just the nature of the game. Nature of the game, and teams don't really want to pay these older running backs. And the game is shifting, like I said, to more passing, you know? So you can give running backs less carries, and it definitely pays to have a running back that you can change a pace and bring him out the backfield to catch passes. Don't really need a workhorse back. So, interesting. But the cool thing about this, though, even though the market for running backs, I kind of get it, why it's drying up for them. The one thing I like about this is how they all coming together to try to make change. And that's a start, you know, that's how you get things done. That's a start. They're coming together and they're trying to get the owners and the GMs to think about how valuable these guys are. Now, the next step is, I don't know, either to do a league-wide boycott the top running backs, or go out in the field and just play better than ever and show that running backs are valuable and they're not just injury-prone and overrated. That's pretty much what you can do. But I like how they're trying to come together and send a message, and they're kind of tired of getting overlooked just because they're running backs and the game is changing to, you know, passing. Even though having a good run game definitely brings balance to your offense. I learned that on Madden. But no, when you watch the best teams, when they can run and pass, keeps the defense off balance and it runs clock. But, you know, it's just not how the game, it's just not where the game is trending. So that's at the expense of all these really talented running backs. Best of luck to them. I like what they're trying to do, but I just don't think it's going to work because money talks and business talks. Yeah. Anyway, okay, vidIQ topic, just throwing it out there. So vidIQ is, I guess, a site I've been using lately because I've been putting out YouTube shorts, and I've been getting a little bit of views on YouTube shorts, so I guess I'm going to keep posting more of them. So vidIQ shows me topics I could use that could possibly get high engagement. And like half of them, I'm like, I don't really watch. Like, I don't really watch MMA. I don't really watch baseball outside of the Nationals. Maybe it's just some stuff I gotta work on, some stuff I gotta shore up as far as my sports watching. But I think there was two topics that stood out. The first one on the list was, did Tony Romo nearly drop the N-word during the AFC Championship game? If you look at that video on YouTube, there's two instances where he had questionable N-word drops. The first one was, this happened in the AFC Championship. This was the more recent run, one when Isaiah Pacheco made like three people miss. And he was like, those offenders... But he went on to say something else. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but you got to watch for yourself. Go ahead and put that in the search bar on YouTube and judge for yourself. When you first hear it, it's like, oh, he got too much dip on his chip. Oh, no, he didn't just say that. And then and then it seemed like he said that during the Vikings and Cowboys games, but at Vikings and Cowboys game, the big blowout, it was like 37-3 at that point. He said figure, but it looked like he said the N-word. I had to listen to it. I literally had to watch that about 8 or 9 times to be like, okay, he didn't say the N-word. But I was like, oh my God. This guy got to watch it, bro. Got too much dip on his chip. But Tony Romo don't seem like a guy that would be racist or say something like that on air. It's not smart, and I'm sure he has empathy and compassion for his fellow man, especially ones that are, you know, black or people of color. I mean, technically, he's a person of color. So doesn't make sense for him to do racist stuff, but he was looking kind of shaky, baby, in my conceited voice. Looking shaky, baby. But if you listen closely, I think in the first one he meant to say nimble, and then the second one he meant to say figures. So I guess I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. This happened a while ago, man. This happened in January. I think the video was made in January, maybe February. So I can't believe that showed up on the vidIQ thing. Don't know why Detroit Lions news show up on here. I'm an Eagles fan, but I'm not even going to talk about that. I mean, all I know is this. When they play the Chiefs, they in trouble. I can't see them beating the Chiefs. But if they beat the Chiefs, boy, I'm going to love it. I'm going to root for them hard, even though I don't think they're going to beat the Chiefs. It's just too many weapons for the Chiefs and just not enough. I just don't think the Lions have enough to beat the Chiefs talent-wise. But, you know, they got the morale. They got the morale. They got the characters. But when we get on the field and do X's and O's, I just don't think they're going to beat the Chiefs. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm very wrong, because I would love the Chiefs to fall on their face and get embarrassed on the national stage to open the season. But that is just simply wishful thinking. They are the better team. I'd put my money on the Chiefs if I had to bet on it. Just to be safe. Just to be safe. Not that I want them to win, but it was just to be safe. And the other vidIQ topic that was interesting to me was, real quick, Darvin Ham and Mike Malone. Darvin Ham responding to Mike Malone throwing shots at the Lakers, how, you know, Denver has had this narrative that they've been overlooked, and people want to talk about Phoenix and LA more than they talk about the Nuggets. I get it. It's true. They were more popular teams. So I get it. The Nuggets went out and beat them. But at the parade, they're still talking about it. And Darvin Ham, I guess he took exception to it. He was like, this shit ain't over. See, that's what I like to see. These are two competitive guys showing their competitive drive. That's what it's all about, baby. That's what's going to make next season great, because these two are going to go at each other. It's already, basketball is already uber competitive, especially the NBA. It's competition at the highest level. But, you know, now you throw in the trash talk and the little shots. Oh, man. It's going to get real. I can't wait till the first Nuggets-Lakers matchup. It's going to be fire. And I want to see what these two say to each other when they see each other. It's going to be fire, man. But I have no problem with these guys showing their competitive nature. That's what it's all about, you know. It's not the buddy-buddy, lovey-dovey stuff y'all complain about or think y'all see from NBA players and coaches on a regular basis. See what I mean? Very competitive. I love it. It's GOAT level stuff. It just fuels you in the off season to get better and to improve on the things that you're weak at. Just improve overall. And boy, I cannot wait to see these guys face off. It's going to be fire. Oh, yeah. And I may have ran into some former MLS players driving Lyft, because, you know, MLS is here for their All-Star game. And it, as a sports fan, I should be there. Like, the game is tonight. I should be there, but I'm not. I'm probably going to play kickball. I should have been at Skills yesterday, but I did the safe thing and kept working. I guess, I mean, still broke, but it was only $15. I could have definitely went. But, you know, it's okay. It's okay. I'm sure everyone who is here for All-Star Weekend and strictly All-Star Weekend or All-Star Week is having fun and enjoying themselves and enjoying DC. I'm glad they are. Now, go MLS All-Stars. Please beat Arsenal. I don't care what type of squad Arsenal puts out there. Still got to beat them. Got to beat them. And I saw a kid with an Arsenal jersey on. Made me sick to my stomach. MLS All-Stars, you better take care of business. Especially with Wayne Rooney coaching. Anyway, is Mr. Van Pugh. The bird is the word, and you gonna respect it. GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. And you already know that I'm out. Peace. Psych, I lied real quick about Cam Whitmore. I know last show I said what the Rockets are cooking is not good, but they might have something here with Cam Whitmore. Watching him was exciting. Great shooting touch, very athletic. But when he goes to the rim, you hold your breath. Like, because he's going to be exciting. Like, it's going to be an exciting slam. It's kind of like LeBron. When he gets in the open floor, when he loads up and explodes, it's going to be showtime. It's going to be a showtime type of dunk. And Cam Whitmore, if he can get on the court, if he can get playing time, which he should, he is going to be so fun to watch. I'm so mad that the Wizards passed on him. If the medicals pan out while he's in the NBA, I'm talking about Cam Whitmore, oh, he's going to be really good. But also, congrats to the Cavs Summer League for winning it all and winning the ring, and Imani Bates saying, "Cleveland, this is for you." That will endear you to the fans off top. And I see that it has already. Sam Merrill, Imani Bates, and Isaiah Mobley, I guess that was their big three. They killed it. And they beat Houston. They beat Cam Whitmore, the MVP. And I don't know if Azar was playing, but I'm sure Cam Whitmore was. And they got him up out of there. So congrats to them. But also, Cam Whitmore is very exciting to watch, and no wonder he won MVP. And I can't wait to see what he does in the league. But for real now, you already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.